Have you ever wondered how much fish we sell on the Kenai, or how much oil comes from here, what it's all worth, and what it all means? Well, we have too. That's why we created Econ 919, a weekly look at the Kenai Peninsula's economy, what makes it work, and who makes it work. Tune in each Friday at 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. for new numbers, emerging trends, and a bit of trivia. Econ 919, Friday mornings at 9 and again at 5, right here on KDLL, public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula.
We're back. This is Kenai Garden Talk on KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman. A handful of hardy tree lovers braved the windy drizzle at the Soldotna Senior Center last Saturday for another of the Garden Club's workshops, this time on tree pruning. Curtis Stiegel of An Arboristic View shared some how-tos, do's, and don'ts of pruning.
You know, it's not rocket science, but I tend to, if anybody's ever watched me prune trees, it kind of starts becoming like you're painting a Picasso or something. It's always best to take a little and work your way to what you think you need than to cut off a lot and go, oops, because you can't super glue it back together. It is what it is. There's all kinds of pruning. There's pruning for fruit trees and fruit production and flower production, and then there's pruning for directional pruning. There's hazard pruning, cutting out hazard limbs that got cracks or whatever in there. There's all kinds of terms, like we're gonna do a few trees here, and it's called elevating, because I actually mow this property and I'm getting tired of getting smacked in the head by limbs. So we'll do a few of that, and you know what I'm gonna show you is the proper way to prune when you're pruning. A lot of people think that this looks like a good spot, I'll cut here, and it's actually not the right spot to cut. So I want to kind of just give those about three basic things, you know, where to make your cuts, when to make your cuts, and how to make your cuts. With that being said, we'll start with that tree over there. We got a white spruce, and a lot of people want to know, you're pruning your spruce this time of year, is it going to attract the beetles, the minimize a cutting you're doing? No, that's not the reason why beetles are attracted to spruce trees. Spruce trees actually put off a pheromone that when they're stressed and not healthy, that the beetles actually home in on. So with that being said, we're not too worried about cutting a few limbs. Now on this tree, obviously I'm on a ride mower, so we're getting smacked by these limbs. And sometimes you can just cut the limbs off. That's what you have to do. Or a lot of times it's about relieving the weight on the limb. So like this limb's hanging down here, right? You can come up here and you can make a cut and see how that limb lifts up. But at the same time, you maintain that limb, especially if you're maintaining your visuals. For trying to block, you know, people from seeing like on your patio or whatever. You could start out small like that and just basically allow the limb to lose some weight and it lifts up. But when we're doing that, you're always pruning back to laterals. So what everybody needs to understand a lateral is, your arm is a lateral going back to the main trunk. So you have a limb, the more splits that goes out, those are laterals. So when you prune for height, you drop to an appropriate lateral that has to be at least 1/3 the diameter of the limb you're pruning. So if your limb is an inch in diameter, then the lateral you're pruning down to has to be 1/3 of that diameter. And the basic reason for that is it helps a tree to reestablish and heal that wound at that point. Okay, and it doesn't cause suckering. So a lot of you prune trees too hard and you've seen it where it suckers and limbs come out everywhere. You're trying to prevent that. Because when you just cut something off at a point and you get all those suckers, that's a weak attachment. And what happens is it doesn't hold up to storm, like high winds and ice storm and snow damage. It also, those allow for vectors for disease problems. Because what happens when you prune at the appropriate points on a tree actually has the ability to compartmentalize that wound and keep that disease or any kind of funguses or viruses getting into the tree. and seal it off. But if you do it at a point where there's not that kind of tissue, then you don't get that. So that's why we're always pruning the laterals. And this tree doesn't really show laterals very well as the deciduous tree. So we'll show that a little bit more. But that's basically what I'm doing here, is I'm just taking this twig and I'm looking for coming back, you know, to a lateral, and you pick which one you want to leave and you just prune all the way back to within a half an inch. So the limb attaches to the tree in all trees, and right there after the bark, the limb's kind of beveled. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you don't want to cut flush with the bark. In that beveled area is actually all the healing tissue for the tree. So when you do a flush cut next to the trunk of the tree, you're actually causing a real problem to where the tree is kind of like us not having our clotting factor for our blood. I mean, let's just, you know, in that direction. So you cut right before that. There's kind of that little fine line, and you just cut that off right there, and then the tree will heal itself. So just kind of remember that as a major rule with pruning. And then a lot of times, if you're cutting heavier limbs, you want to make a little undercut. Because a lot of times you're cutting to the top and you start getting through the limb, especially this time of the year where the bark's softening up. You get that where you strip it and peel the bark down. To prevent that, you do a little cut through the little bark on the back side of the limb and then make your major cut. And it drops that down. So what I do is I'm wanting to get a little clearance. Which honestly, I could use my... There. That's all that takes. That is basically elevating a tree.
Does it get too late in the year to
do a tree like this?
International Society of Arboricultural Standards, year-round. As long as you don't prune in one quarter. They used to have the one-third, now they do one quarter. Is the rule. Of course, in the winter time, the tree is dormant, doesn't have the ability to compartmentalize, but you know, as soon as spring hits, the sap flows, it'll do that. And any kind of wounds you make on a tree will actually compartmentalize within 24 to 48 hours. And it seals off that whole area to keep any kind of diseases to get in the tree.
Can you transfer a disease from one tree to another by not having a clean tool, or is that?
Yes.
Good?
You can.
Okay.
You take the Dutch elm disease, same thing with chestnut blight. Just really just a solution of bleach and water. You can wash the tool off when you're making cuts going from different trees. But we don't have anything here that we're not concerned with. All right. Well, this tree has never really been pruned. Typical, your choke cherries, your prunus species, your maydays, all those kind are all part of the prunus group. Fast growing softwood. And they grow and they get all these different limb attachments that can cause weak joints. And as they grow taller and they put more weight on, you get this whole fulcrum. So imagine all this weight going out like this, and it puts that pressure on those limb attachments down here. What you're wanting to do a lot of times with these prunus trees, you really don't want to let them get up there 30 or 40 feet. You want to try to keep them down to this size. And you want to keep them from having a lot of limbs where they're going out and putting that pressure to where that's where they'll split. You see them after a windstorm, they split out down here. So a lot of times it's just pruning to drop the height and pruning to bring them in tighter. And then on trees that are starting to get up there that are grown, you want to prune to thin. And what you're looking at is, imagine the tree and it's a solid board up in the wind and it's hitting it and the forces, versus you thin it out to allow the wind like a screen door to go through it. It takes that stress off from the tree. Of course, with trees like this that's never been pruned, the biggest one is looking for limbs. You don't want any limbs that are crossing each other and rubbing. You want to prune those out. Those are really the first thing you want to do, because those cause wounds which allow for bacterial and viral infections. And you cut those out, For some reason, this tree's doing a lot of suckering, which it could be for a number of reasons. But we're not going to prune on this one too heavy. I'm not going to worry about that today as much as I just want to demonstrate how to do a few basic things. What I look at in your pruning is, you know, when you're thinning out, you kind of make some room, and here comes the wonderful rain. And so what I do is, like, you got these limbs here, you got that limb there, and you want to make a little space for all the limbs. So what I'll do, if it ain't too big, well, here, we'll do this one right here. So you just basically look at that beveled area on the limb, and you come in and you do the same thing on your cut, and you just cut it off. So you thin out that, and you go around the whole tree. So anyway, so what you're doing is you go through the tree, and you just kind of thin it out. You take out those limbs. You start in one spot, and it's every other, and you don't want to overthin. And once again, we go back to that one-third, one-quarter rule. So you don't want to prune more than one-quarter, because then it causes suckering and, you know, health problems with the tree. So a lot of times, you know, you got to depend on a tree that's never been pruned like that. Do you want to spend a quarter of what you got to prune dropping the height and shaping it, or a quarter thinning it? Because on pruning species around here, I usually go on about a 3-year pruning cycle. So you decide what you're going to do now that needs to be done. So if you got a lot of crossing limbs, then that's going to be your first priority. Because usually a lot of times when you're cutting the height out, if you say you want to knock 3 or 4 feet off the height of that tree, and you got to prune that height down to the appropriate lateral, then all those big main stems going up are going to be at different heights. But once a tree leaves out, you'll never see it. And so when you start taking out that, you'll get to that 1/4 really quick. So you got to decide what's important with your pruning. What's your objective on this tree right now? Because then you're not going to do anything for at least 3 years.
So it's not 25% per year, like you come back the next year and do another 25%, right? And another, it's not like that?
Right. Oh, okay. You're dealing with pruning cycles. Some trees can deal with 2 years depending on how fast they grow. Some trees it's 4 or 5 years. More mature trees that are more done growing than are more putting on bulk, like your big oaks and maples back east, those pruning cycles are even further out. Faster growing trees like the prunus species, you know, you could probably get away with 2 years on the pruning cycle, depending on what you're, if you're doing fruit production, those trees get pruned almost every year.
Well, that's yeah, kind of where the apple trees, yeah, the cherry trees,
yeah,
the
plum trees, pears, everything. Those get pruned because you're going for production. They're always being pruned. Okay. Fruit trees are, you know, totally kind of different. On fruit trees, your horizontal branches are what carries your fruit flowers, and your verticals don't. And so when you're pruning, you want to make horizontal branches, and then they'll have little limbs that grow fruit coming off to the sides. And the reason why you grow those horizontal beams, bigger branches, and allow that to grow is for just that reason, to allow for your fruit, and you know, you don't break your fruit tree. These will get a lot of berries on them, like all the choke cherries, and they tend to break the limbs, so they'll want to droop. So you got to kind of think 5 months from now. And sometimes you may have to take a little bit on those edges to kind of, so that when it does droop, it's not down here. So the first three rules, defective, diseased, dead limbs come first. And dead limbs can not necessarily count as your quarter. They're already dead. So just kind of dismiss those. And then you start going with more of your correctional pruning, such as your height, your side, getting rid of your suckers to make the tree more eye appealing at that level. Trees that are closer up to buildings, like a lot of people put them right here at a corner. And so what you're wanting to do is you're wanting to prune that between the building and the tree. You're going to do what you call directional pruning. So any limb that wants to grow that way gets cut. Anything that grows and points in any other direction, we don't care. So then you're doing a directional pruning, and you cut that, and you can keep that 24, 30 inches of space away from the building and teach the tree to grow the other direction away from the building. And the thing about making, you know, prunus wider, in other words, you want to maintain, but you want to have this kind of lower, rounded, wider going out this way. When you're coming down on your height, you're going to have to pick those limbs that are going to become beams growing this direction. Because if you just allow that limbs to grow kind of up and out, then you get all this weight. It's like a, fulcrum. Yeah. And then it puts all this weight this way, and then down here at the trunk level, it snaps it off. So that's the one thing you have to be careful about. You just have to make sure that you're building that structure in the limbs to be able to hold themselves up. And so we've learned that the limbs up and down a trunk actually have a lot with dissipating energy as it's twisting and blowing in the wind. So if you get rid of that, what are you doing to the structural design of the tree? I was pruning one property, and they had pruned their cottonwoods, and they what they did what they call lion tailing. So you know how a lion's tail's got a nice little tail, and at the end it's a little furry bush. That's what they did with their tree. Oh, that's a big no-no. They took out all the major, and we're talking they're sitting right over right next to a house and a trailer on one side, and those trees are not gonna weather and twist in the wind right, and they're more apt to snap. Which is going to cause what kind of a problem? So now you created a major hazard by thinking, oh, that looks pretty. It doesn't. There's a lot to that when it comes to that structural design and pruning. Just like skyscrapers, they sway in the wind. They actually bend and they move, and they're designed for that purpose. Well, you know, we've learned a lot of that from trees. So, you know, when you're pruning, you know, it's just not a matter of hack, 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 hack. It's watching, and I will. I'll start pruning a tree, and you got the wind blowing, and I'll cut a few limbs, and I'll think of nothing. I take a step back, and I'll walk over there, and I'll walk over there, and I want to see how does it look when people pull in the parking lot. How does it look from this window, and how is it moving in the wind?
I've heard that if you take the top out of an older birch tree, that it's good for it. Is that? Can you speak to that?
No. You're saying, are you talking a dead top, or are you talking about a or the whole top?
Dying on the top.
Yeah, where it's in, it's got a decline issue. Yeah, pruning out the dead limbs. You know, it's the same thing. It's just you're pruning out dead wood is what you're doing. Birds are temperamental, actually. You either take a little bit of the limb, or you take the whole limb. There's this fine line with birch trees that they don't like being pruned wrongfully, and so a lot of times you start taking out the height, you're talking about bringing that whole lead down to the next lateral versus sometimes the middle lateral and it'll just die. And this, they're very temperamental in pruning, so I tend to not be so aggressive with birch trees unless it's for primarily safety purposes, you know, pruning out hazard limbs and things like that. You know, and they handle height. I mean, you know, we're talking about a semi-hardwood, so we're not talking like your prunus species where they get too high and they get up in the wind, they'll break, or your aspen, you know, that they'll break. Birds tend to handle that. So a lot of times what you're looking for there is pruning for defective structure or limbs. But you just have to be careful on how much you cut on them birch trees. They don't like it much. Any other questions?
Appreciate all your information.
Yeah.
Hey, no
very
problem.
Good. Very good.
And you know, if you got questions, call me. Leave a message on the phone. I'll get back to you in a few days. Depending on the time of the year it is.
It is getting to be that busy time of year, but Curtis says he's happy to return messages as soon as he can. He can be reached at An Arboristic View at 262-7659. The Central Peninsula Garden Club continues its Saturday workshops for one more week. On May 26th, you can learn about growing in a high tunnel, the basics of root cellars, composting and soil amendments, landscape design from plan to planting, and building high tunnels, low tunnels, cold frames, and instilling drip irrigation. The class fee is $5. Pre-registration is required. For more information, call Donna at 420-0480. Summer garden tours are the next thing on the Garden Club's agenda. Email sendpengardenclub@gmail.com to nominate a garden for a stop on the tour. You must be a Garden Club member to take a tour. You can find out more at sendpengardenclub.org. The Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District's annual plant sale fundraiser is happening today, right now, in fact, until 1 p.m. in the Three Bears parking lot in Kenai. For more information, call Abraham England at 306-4610. The Alaska Food Hub opened yesterday for Soldotna area customers. Formerly known as the Kenai Peninsula Food Hub, the Alaska Food Hub is an online market featuring products from Alaska farmers, fishers, and makers. Order between Fridays at noon and Mondays at 10 p.m., then pick up your order Wednesdays from 3:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Christ Lutheran Church in Soldotna. You can check all that out at alaskafoodhub.org. It is just about farmers market time. Kenai Saturday Market opens May 26th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. in the parking lot of the Kenai Visitors and Cultural Center. The Farmers Fresh Market at the Kenai Peninsula Food Bank on K Beach Road in Soldotna has its season opener from 3 to 6 p.m. June 5th. The Soldotna Wednesday Market opens June 6th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Soldotna Creek Park. Music in the park starts June 6th as well, with Lost Smoke and Recess Duty from 6 to 9 p.m. And Soldotna's Saturday Market starts June 9th. That's open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in the school bus turnaround at East Corral Street and the Kenai Spur Highway. Also June 9th, the Central Peninsula Garden Club has a plant sale from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., or as long as plants last. That's at Peninsula Grace Brethren Church on K Beach Road. The Ionia community in Kisilov has two workshops coming up. Plant medicine and epigenetic trauma is taught from 2 to 5 p.m. May 25th at the Soldotna Library. Learn about how events from the past might be affecting people today, and how to use traditional plant-based therapies for recovery and stability. This one is free and open to the public. And Cooking for Virility and Vitality with Jessica Porter, author of The Hip Chick's Guide to Macrobiotics, will be held from 2 to 5 p.m. June 7th at the Ionia Longhouse Kitchen in Kisilov. It's $20 to attend. For more information on either class, call Eliza Eller at 252-2314. Do you need to do some farm work but don't have the tools? The Kenai Soil and Water Conservation District has equipment to rent, including tractor-drawn implements for field prep, tillage, fertilizing, shaping beds, laying mulch, and planting. New items this year include a manure spreader and a seeder. They've also got small tools like a backpack sprayer, broadcast spreader, and broad fork. For more information, check out the equipment rental page at kenaisoilandwater.org or visit Kenai Feed and Supply. And that'll do it for this month's Kenai Garden Talk. We'll be back in June with more stories of what's growing in the central Kenai Peninsula. In the meantime, you can listen to past shows on the Kenai Garden Talk page on kdll.org. We'll leave you with a quote from Aldo Leopold in honor of Arbor Day, which in Alaska is Monday, May 21st. Acts of creation are ordinarily reserved for gods and poets. To plant a pine, one need only own a shovel. I'm Jenny Nyman. Thanks for tuning in.